Chapter 78. From them at once, she stamped passionately on the floor with one foot, and tears crowded to her eyes again. It means simply a pledge, no sentiment, the seal of a practical compact. He said more quietly, but still retaining her hand in his firm grasp. See, come now. And Boltwood slipped the ring on her finger. I cannot wear it. She said, weeping as if her heart would break. Why you frighten me, almost. So wild a scheme. Please let me go home. Only tonight. Wear it just tonight, to please me. Bathsheba sat down in a chair, and buried her face in her handkerchief, though Boltwood kept her hand yet. At length she said, in a sort of hopeless whisper, very well then, I will tonight, if you wish it so earnestly. Now loosen my hand. I will, indeed I will wear it tonight. And it shall be the beginning of a pleasant secret courtship of 6 years, with a wedding at the end? It must be, I suppose, since you will have it so, she said, fairly beaten into non-resistance. Boltwood pressed her hand, and allowed it to drop in her lap. I am happy now, he said. God bless you. He left the room, and when he thought she might be sufficiently composed, sent one of the maids to her. Bathsheba, cloaked the effects of the late scene as she best could, followed the girl, and in a few moments came downstairs with her hat and cloak on, ready to go. To get to the door it was necessary to pass through the hall, and before doing so she paused on the bottom of the staircase which descended into one corner, to take a last look at the gathering. There was no music or dancing in progress just now. At the lower end, which had been arranged for the workfolk specially, a group conversed in whispers, and with clouded looks. Boltwood was standing by the fireplace, and he too, though so absorbed in visions arising from her promise, that he scarcely saw anything, seemed at that moment to have observed their peculiar manner, and their looks askance. What is it you are in doubt about, men? He said. One of them turned, and replied uneasily, colon, it was something Laban heard of, that's all, sir. News? Anybody married or engaged, born or dead? Inquired the farmer, gaily. Tell it to us, tall. One would think from your looks and mysterious ways, that it was something very dreadful indeed. Oh no, sir, nobody is dead, said tall. I wish somebody was, said Samway, in a whisper. What do you say, Samway? Asked Boltwood, somewhat sharply. If you have anything to say, speak out. If not, get up another dance. Mrs. Troy has come downstairs, said Samway to Tall. If you want to tell her, you had better do it now. Do you know what they mean? The farmer asked Bathsheba, across the room. I don't in the least, said Bathsheba. There was a smart rapping at the door. One of the men opened it instantly, and went outside. Mrs. Troy is wanted, he said, on returning. Quite ready, said Bathsheba. Though I didn't tell them to send. It is a stranger, ma'am, said the man by the door. A stranger? She said. Ask him to come in, said Boltwood. The message was given, and Troy, wrapped up to his eyes as we have seen him, stood in the doorway. There was an unearthly silence, all looking towards the newcomer. Those who had just learned that he was in the neighborhood recognized him instantly. Those who did not were perplexed. Nobody noted Bathsheba. She was leaning on the stairs. Her brow had heavily contracted. Her whole face was pallid, her lips apart, her eyes rigidly staring at their visitor. Boltwood was among those who did not notice that he was Troy. See, come in. Come in, he repeated, cheerfully, and drain a Christmas speaker with us, stranger. Troy next advanced into the middle of the room, took off his cap, turned down his coat collar, and looked Boltwood in the face. Even then Boltwood did not recognize that the impersonator of heaven's persistent irony towards him, who had once before broken in upon his bliss, scorned him, and snatched his delight away, had come to do these things a second time. Troy began to laugh a mechanical laugh. Boltwood recognized him now. Troy turned to Bathsheba. The poor girl's wretchedness at this time was beyond all fancy or narration. As he had sunk down on the lowest stair, and there she sat, her mouth blue and dry, and her dark eyes fixed vacantly upon him, as if she wondered whether it were not all a terrible illusion. Then Troy spoke. "Be Bathsheba, I come here for you." She made no reply. "Come home with me. Come." Bathsheba moved her feet a little, but did not rise. Troy went across to her. "Come, madam, do you hear what I say?" he said, peremptorily. A strange voice came from the fireplace, a voice sounding far off and confined, as if from a dungeon. Hardly a soul in the assembly recognized the thin tones to be those of Boldwood. Sudden despair had transformed him. "Bathsheba, go with your husband." Nevertheless, she did not move. The truth was that Bathsheba was beyond the pale of activity, and yet not in a swoon. She was in a state of mental goddess arena. Her mind was for the minute totally deprived of light at the same time. No obscuration was apparent from without. Troy stretched out his hand to pull her towards him, when she quickly shrank back. This visible dread of him seemed to irritate Troy, and he seized her arm and pulled it sharply. Whether his grasp pinched her, or whether his mere touch was the cause, was never known, but at the moment of his seizure she writhed, and gave a quick, low scream. The scream had been heard, but a few seconds, when it was followed by sudden deafening report that echoed through the room, and stupefied them all. The oak partition shook with the concussion, and the place was filled with gray smoke. In bewilderment they turned their eyes to Boldwood. At his back, as stood before the fireplace, was a gun rack, as is usual in farmhouses, constructed to hold two guns. When Bathsheba had cried out in her husband's grasp, Boldwood's face of gnashing despair had changed. The veins had swollen, and a frenzied look had gleamed in his eye. He had turned quickly, taken one of the guns, cocked it, and at once discharged it at Troy. Troy fell. The distance apart of the two men was so small that the charge of shot did not spread in the least, but passed like a bullet into his body. He uttered a long guttural sigh. There was a contraction and ecstasy, and then his muscles relaxed, and he lay still. Boldwood was seen through the smoke to be now again engaged with the gun. It was double-barreled, and he had, meanwhile, in some way fastened his handkerchief to the trigger, and with his foot on the other end was in the act of turning the second barrel upon himself. Samway, his man, was the first to see this, and in the midst of the general horror darted up to him. Boldwood had already twitched the handkerchief, and the gun exploded a second time, sending its contents, by a timely blow from Samway, into the beam which crossed the ceiling. "Well, it makes no difference," Boldwood gasped. "There is another way for me to die." Then he broke from Samway, crossed the room to Bathsheba, and kissed her hand. He put on his hat, opened the door, and went into the darkness, nobody thinking of preventing him. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.